people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the radio show one more day. We really appreciate it. Can't tell you guys how much I love having you guys in the chat room this morning. It is so nice to have you guys along for the ride, and it makes me feel like a little family here every day when I tune in and then get ready to start the show and see all these nice people start pouring into the chat room. It's just so awesome. I got to tell you, though, you guys are missing out on Thursdays because Jim Ram's show is on live before mine. And I'll do a little spoiler alert here. The guy named Sarge in the chat room, that's Sergeant Jim Ram. So you guys can see him in the chat room while he's doing a show. I don't know. I know he's really busy on the phones because he takes a lot of phone calls. But what an epic show Jim Ram has put together for us in terms of health in the morning before our show on Thursday. So I would encourage all of you guys on Thursday mornings to get into the chat room a little bit early, if not a couple hours early, so you guys can hang out with Mr. Jim Ram because, I mean, the guy is just doing amazing stuff, as are all of the hosts here at Truth Frequency Radio. I guess I should probably get onto that part of the portion of the morning here. My name's JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We are coming to you on your very favorite network for live information, alternative truth, things like that. Truth Frequency Radio, you can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find us at redpillreports.com. And you can find us on the dial at 90.7 in beautiful Denver, Colorado. Today is the 28th day of May. That is a significant day. We were talking earlier this week and on Friday's Woo Crew. I'm sorry, no, it was earlier in the week, I think, when we were on with Joe and Nano. Anyway, the 28th, there's supposed to be some sort of planetary alignment today causing potentially large earthquakes. People are really focused on California this morning. But luckily enough for you guys and for myself, we have the one and only Stan Deo coming on to the program a little bit later. He'll be here in about an hour. And for you guys who don't know, Stan, I mean, first of all, holy cow, what a background Stan Deo's got. Ufology, black ops, he was undercover for the FBI. He's done just so many crazy things, really into Tesla-free energy type of programs and things like that. But he also developed, back in the mid-90s, a very, very accurate earthquake prediction model that was actually used by the Navy for a long time. And the Navy stream got shut down where he was getting his information to run this program, but it got turned back on in about 2012. So he is back up and running in terms of this earthquake prediction stuff. So probably nobody in the world better to talk to about what is going on in terms of earth changes, planetary alignments, volcanoes going off all over the place. Are we going to die from Yellowstone? What in the world's going on? I'll tell you, Stan Deo, really a high water mark in alternative information, and really excited to be having him joining us in about an hour. So we will get to the bottom of the underwater Oregon earthquake, the Yellowstone stuff, probably talk a little bit about what happened in Nepal and if there's any correlation to CERN. I really was excited yesterday when I was reading through some science news. There has been a discovered Nikola Tesla interview that is now making its rounds around the internet, and I read the whole thing yesterday, and just what an amazing mind Nikola Tesla had. Just absolutely incredible. And when we get to the science news, I will drop that into the chat room so you guys can see it as well. But I know that Stan Deo is a huge Nikola Tesla fan and actually does a lot of work in the free energy, free energy realm, similar to what Tesla did. So definitely we'll be talking about that today. And then tomorrow we will have the one and only Kev Baker joining us for the full 2 hours. It's going to be a goof-off fest, and I'm really looking forward to it because Kev is just an absolute consummate professional on his show, and so I like to bring him onto my show, and we just kind of goof off. But it's good times. We'll go over all the news and stuff like that. and just kind of basically break down what's going on both sides of the pond for you guys tomorrow. Should be a great time. We'll take some calls. It's going to be good stuff. Going to be good stuff. Okay, so Stan's going to be joining us tomorrow. Kev will be here. We'll go over next week's guest next week. I do need to stop for just a second and talk a little bit about the fund drive thing that we've got going on right now. We're kind of in a rock and a hard place here, guys. I don't know what to do other than to come out here and just be completely honest with you guys. And the situation right now, obviously, you guys probably know, I've put my heart and my soul and every piece of thing that's not nailed down into being able to do this program. And I love it. Absolutely love being here with you guys in the morning. But unfortunately, I don't have any income coming in on the side of the show. And I just want you guys to know any donations that you have made have gone 100% to costs of running the show. Nothing else. I have not bought a margarita maker or anything like that. So don't panic about those things. But we had a pretty lofty goal. We were trying to hit it by the end of May, and I kind of think that we're probably not going to hit it. And that's not to say bad things about you guys. That's just to say, you know, we had a lofty goal. We've had a lot of lofty goals around here, to be honest. I don't chalk any of this up to a failure. I feel like we have brought a lot of good information to the people. We have given you guys a lot of resources to go out and prepare yourselves for things that are coming. And unfortunately for me right now, I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I don't have a garden in. I don't have anything left to offer to the world, to try and take care of myself or, people around me. So, I'm probably going to wind the fundraiser down. I did commit to running until the end of June. And so I am going to do that, but I'm probably going to just say, go ahead and forget about the fund driving thing. We've got a lot of other issues here at the show. I have I've got a situation with another host on another network that likes to disparage us and talk negatively about us in front of other guests. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't really bring to the air, but I basically am coming out today to just be as absolutely honest with you guys as I possibly can. I love doing the show, but I can't continue to do the show in spite of myself. I still have to be able to take care of myself and my cat and all of those things. And so, kind of between, again, in a rock and a hard place here, do appreciate everything that everybody has donated so far. We are going to run through the end of June, but just to kind of put it in your heads right now that there's probably going to have to be a format change, coming up around then. So, that's where we are right now. Again, not a negative thing at all. Really appreciate everything everybody has done for us and the program, especially the, Jeff and Robert guys working super hard behind the scenes, trying to make all of this fly. It's just difficult these days. It's just difficult these days. And I understand that across the board. And unfortunately, we're probably going to have to move on and, figure out a way to continue to eat and pay bills and things like that. And being able to do this every single day is just really difficult. Sorry, my cat's freaking out right now. Really difficult. A lot of time goes into this and not enough time to work on anything else on the side. So that's kind of where we're at right now, guys. Again, don't really know what that means to all of you out there. Want to continue doing the show, and I will be here through the end of June. That's kind of where we're at right now. Anyway, let's get back on some positive things. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of positive things to get to right now because we're moving into the news, and of course, when you move into the news, there's a lot of negative stuff going on. So let's talk about what's going on the international tip right now. More news regarding the European Commission and their EU proclamation regarding these refugees coming from Syria and Eritrea. Right now, they are basically establishing a program there in the EU. Of course, we talked yesterday about the military option, which nobody here at Red Pill Report supports at all. Pretty disgusting if you actually come down to it. But right now they are planning to take 40,000 asylum seekers, both from Syria and Eritrea. Any of these people who land in Italy and Greece over the next 2 years, they're basically going to accept 40,000 asylum seekers and they're going to spread them out across the EU. Obviously, you know, you guys signed up for the EU, so this is how it works. You guys get rules that are pushed down upon you from your overlords, and if you don't like them, well, guys shouldn't have joined the EU, I guess. So Germany, France, Spain, they're going to receive the most migrants under this commission's latest plan. And the idea of using quotas to resettle those who have made it into Europe is obviously causing a lot of controversy in some of the other EU states. The UK government, for example, says they are not going to take part in any kind of system like this. And France and Spain, Hungary, Slovakia, and Estonia have all also voiced concerns A final decision is supposed to be taken by the EU government after a vote by the MEPs coming up a little bit later this week. Denmark also has the option of opting out of the plan, while the Ireland and the UK, they start opted out. They're basically already opted out. And so we'll see if they decide to opt into the plan. And this plan to resettle 40,000 refugees is in addition to moves announced earlier this month by the EU for a voluntary scheme to settle an additional 20,000 refugees. So again, 60,000 refugees are going to be spread across the EU. And if you don't like it, well, you probably should not have joined the EU in the first place. But again, you know, and we could also talk about the fact that the military option against these people is disgusting, because most of the people who are signing up for this military option to sink the vessels that are bringing these refugees over are in fact part of the root cause of the problem that, you know, made these people leave in the first place. So, you know, the idea that we're not going to take responsibility for the initiation of violence in these people's communities, and rather we're just going to use more violence out in the open water, it's just not a plan that I would ever get behind. But anyway, that's what's going on in terms of the EU and this refugee situation. Moving on to Yemen right now, the largest airstrikes that have taken place in these last 3 months of airstrikes, essentially against Yemen, took place yesterday. Saudi-led airstrikes killed at least 80 people, 80, near Yemen's border with Saudi Arabia and in the capital Sana'a on Wednesday, according to residents. And again, this was the deadliest day of bombing over the last 2 months in this war in Yemen. And Wednesday's air raids on the Bekel Amir area in Hajjah province across Saudi Arabia's border with Yemen killed 40 people. Most of those were civilians, according to local inhabitants. And tribesmen aligned with the Houthis have been fighting Saudi ground forces in the area, and border clashes have escalated to conflict between the Shiite Muslim rebels and a coalition of Sunni Muslim Gulf Arab states. So again, yesterday, the largest spat of violence that we have seen there in Yemen so far. Arab warplanes and ships also coincidentally hammered Yemen's largest military port in the Red Sea at dawn just yesterday, according to a local official. And this was the most serious attack on the country's navy in over 2 months of war. And the military base is all aligned with the Houthis, apparently, and the most powerful force in Yemen's complex conflict, which also involves southern secessionist militias, local tribe forces, and Islamist militants such as Al-Qaeda's regional wing. So again, Saudi Arabia leading a large airstrike against Yemen's largest military port in the Red Sea. That military port is being supported by the southern secessionists, the local tribe forces, and also Al-Qaeda there in the Yemeni peninsula. And they say the naval base was also bombed by aircraft and ships. Large parts of it were destroyed. Two warships were hit, and one of them, named the Bilquis, was destroyed and sank to its side. And five gunboats shelled the administration buildings on the base. So again, lots and lots of violence blowing up across Yemen right now. We're still not out of the woods yet. Still no word on whether or not the UN is going to have some sort of peace negotiations. That peace negotiation was supposed to occur today on the 28th, but we had that article earlier this week that it has been postponed indefinitely because the Yemen government, or the quote-unquote legitimate Yemeni government, who is living in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, says that they will not participate. So again, more than 500,000 people displaced and more than 2,000 people dead now in Yemen as the war continues. Also, speaking of war, the Israeli Air Force did carry out 4 airstrikes on militant targets in the Gaza Strip early yesterday, according to eyewitnesses. And this was hours after an alleged cross-border rocket attack against the Jewish state there in Israel. Lots of people wondering if that rocket attack was some sort of false flag. I definitely am in that particular boat, because it just seems very convenient that even though there is a peace accord going on right now, that, you know, it seems unusual that Hamas would just decide to launch an attack against Israel. And anyway, so the planes targeted training camps belonging to militant group Islamic Jihad in Rafah, Khan Yunis, and the Gaza City area. According to witnesses, there were no immediate reports of casualties, but a rocket fired from the Palestinian enclave struck southern Israel late Tuesday, causing no casualties and no damage. So again, the rocket fire from the Palestinian enclave on Tuesday was the catalyst for the response from Israel firing these four airstrikes into the Gaza area. The Israeli army said it actually struck four terror infrastructures in the southern Gaza Strip. And the defense minister said Tuesday's rocket attack had been, in fact, carried out by the militant group Islamic Jihad. And they go on to say that if we don't have calm in Israel, the Gaza Strip will pay a heavy price. I would also say that the Gaza Strip is paying a heavy price right now, regardless of whether or not there is peace in Israel. It's either a fast encroachment and takeover or a slow one. So it just depends on how quick you want the water to boil there for these poor people in Gaza. Also, the defense minister said he does not advise anyone to put this to the test. Israel will not sit back after its citizens were targeted by Islamic Jihad. So, again, nobody has actually claimed responsibility for the rocket attack that originated in Palestine and allegedly hit inside of Israel. So it makes you wonder if it was, in fact, the Islamic Jihad. Why would they not have taking credit for that, but there you go. I think that was probably a false flag, but you know, that's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. Also, just a report from the UN right now, more than half of the countries in the world are currently generating Islamist extremist fighters for groups such as Al-Qaeda and IS, according to, again, the UN. This new report from the UN Security Council says that there are more than 25,000 foreign terrorist fighters currently involved in jihad conflicts, and they are traveling from more than 100 member states. And the number of fighters has also increased by more than 70% worldwide in the past 9 months or so, according to this report, also saying that they pose an immediate and long-term terrorist threat. So there you go. We got more global war. Over 100 different countries from around the world are originating some of these Islamic terrorist fighters and sending them off to places like Iraq and Syria. And, you know, I like to think that the UN probably just wants to keep this whole fear thing going, ladies and gentlemen. I don't really believe necessarily that Iraq is nearly as bad as the Western media would like us to believe it is. And the Western media obviously has a lot of ties to the UN. So it would probably benefit the UN to keep this whole fear rhetoric thing going. It makes sense when you think about David Cameron and all of the new initiatives going on there, talking about radicalization, and it's just crazy. It's just all part of a big scam, as far as I'm concerned. Moving on. Iran. News out of Iran. Apparently, the Iran nuclear deal is not going to be likely by June 30th. Not a real big surprise to a lot of us who've been paying close attention to this, but they're saying because technical details will remain to be defined, and Iran will not get sanctions relief before the end of the year in the best of cases. This is according to a Western ambassador to France, and he said all of this on Tuesday this week. He says six major powers still seeking to negotiate an agreement under which Iran would limit its nuclear program in exchange for easing of economic sanctions that have crippled its economy. And envoys from Washington and Britain, France and Germany, which is three of the P5 plus one group that also includes China, Russia and the U.S., sketched out their expectations for an endgame as a self-imposed June 30th deadline does, in fact, approach. But again, the French ambassador says that it's not very likely that we'll see an agreement before the end of June or even any time pretty much right thereafter. So essentially, Iran and the P5 plus one have reached a framework agreement back in April, but several issues are still remaining unresolved at this point, including a pace of sanction relief and the monitoring and verification measures to ensure that Iran does not produce or pursue a clandestine nuclear program. So Iranian officials say they must receive sanctions relief immediately upon reaching an agreement, and Western officials argue that sanctions will be eased gradually and only after Iran has taken steps to limit its nuclear program. So you can see then probably not going to be successful in terms of what is going on there in Iran right now. So we will see, and obviously has a lot to do with what's going on in Yemen right now. A lot of Western media still saying that the Houthi rebels are being supported by Iran. I haven't seen any actual evidence of that yet, but again, the NATO alliance and the Western people, they tell us a lot of stuff that doesn't ever seem to be absolutely accurate. But anyway, this Iran situation still on pins and needles right now. Also, news out of the soccer world, and for all of you UK kids, we're talking about football right now. This was a big story. I didn't realize how big a story this was, but Swiss police actually arrested some of the most powerful figures in global soccer just yesterday, announcing a criminal investigation into the awarding of the next two World Cups and plunging the world's most popular sport into turmoil. In addition to the Swiss criminal probe, 9 football officials and 5 sports media and promotions executives face extradition to the United States on corruption charges involving more than $150 million in bribes, according to U.S. authorities. And those arrested did not include Sepp Blatter, who is the Swiss head of FIFA, but did include several just below him in the hierarchy of the wealthiest and most powerful sports body on the planet. Of the 14 indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice, 7 were officials of the soccer's governing body, FIFA, including FIFA Vice President Jeffrey Webb. They were all arrested in Zurich, and 4 people and 2 corporate defendants have already pleaded guilty to various charges, according to the departments there at the FBI. The defendants fostered apparently a culture of corruption and greed that created an uneven playing field for the largest sport in the world, and undisclosed illegal payments, kickbacks, bribes became a way of doing business at FIFA. One of the things that they're really kind of harping on right now was this choice to move the World Cup to Qatar, which is a tiny desert country, has no domestic tradition of soccer, and obviously somebody in Qatar paid FIFA a whole lot of money to make that happen, and that's not the way this whole thing is supposed to work, apparently. So again, a huge number of arrests in the FIFA organization yesterday, and I'm not really a huge follower of soccer. I did spend about 3 hours trying to figure out cricket last night. Somebody posted a cricket video on Facebook. Holy cow. Yeah, I don't know how you guys follow that sport. Unbelievable. Some of those games go 5 days, guys. Crazy town. Crazy town. And I do like soccer, but we just don't have a real big tradition of it here in the United States. But apparently this FIFA thing is a big deal, big, big deal to a lot of you kids out there that are really into football, or proper football, I guess I should say. Moving on, also a kind of a situation, a weird situation in Germany. There were 20,000 residents in Cologne in Germany. They were evacuated yesterday after a 200-kilogram bomb from World War II was discovered during preparations for construction work. This is a really serious situation, because it's not like you can just dig down into the ground and disarm one of these things. So they had to dig a big trench around it, and they did in fact get it disarmed. But what I thought was interesting about this is that last Friday, another wartime bomb actually triggered an evacuation of 10,000 people in Cologne. So it makes you wonder if maybe they should just stop doing construction in Cologne, because you're talking about bombs that have been buried under the ground for, you know, 40 years. Maybe just leave them alone. I don't know. But that's 2 in a week. That's pretty significant. Also, significant stuff going on the airlines this week. There was an incident that we probably ought to talk about. Passengers received quite a scare when a Singapore Airlines jet dropped 13,000 feet after both of its engines failed in midair on a recent flight. And this is an Airbus. It was being run again by the Singapore Airlines. This was an A330-300 flying from Singapore to Shanghai on Saturday. And apparently the carrier has now launched an investigation to determine what caused the engines to lose power, and apparently saying that they encountered some bad weather while en route from Singapore to Shanghai. So bad weather really being a cause to shut down both engines simultaneously on an Airbus 330. Yeah, I'm not buying that. I hope none of you guys are buying that out there either. So again, as this Airbus A330-300 made an unexpected descent, the pilots did follow operational procedures and managed to restore power to both Rolls-Royce Trent 772 engines, according to Singapore Airlines. And, so the airline said that both engines experienced a temporary loss of power, although one engine returned to normal operations almost immediately. Again, the pilots followed operational procedures in order to restore normal operation of the second engine by putting the aircraft into a controlled descent before climbing again. The plane ended up being fine, touching down uneventfully at 11 p.m. local time there in Shanghai. But Singapore Airlines says there were no anomalies detected in either of the engines, and they were thoroughly inspected and tested upon arrival in Shanghai. The plane hung out there for a couple hours, and it took off back to Shanghai. So I don't know. This seems pretty significant to me. That jet was traveling at 39,000 feet and then ended up having to drop all the way to 26,000 feet before power was restored. I'll tell you what, if you're on an airplane and you hear everything just go silent and the plane starts going down, that is about the scariest thing I could possibly imagine. And I do not believe that this was a normal anomaly. This is something that's significant that happened. Somehow these engines were shut down simultaneously. I could see an anomaly maybe shutting down one, but you kind of have to wonder, especially with the Airbus 300s, could it have been a hack of some kind, or could it have been some sort of clandestine attempt to take over that aircraft? I don't know. But again, just a very unusual situation. And then there was another unusual situation. France right now is probing into a Boeing 777 that apparently had a near crash into an active volcano in Africa. So I can't even make stuff like this up. Again, an investigation being launched right now into what they are calling a serious incident involving Air France flight 953. It's been revealed that the plane had nearly 40 people on board, and it risked crashing into a giant volcano in Cameroon while trying to avoid a storm. So again, we have this idea of bad weather taking planes off route or potentially messing up their engines. Again, this is a Boeing 777, came dangerously close to going into a live volcano in Cameroon. How much do you guys want to go get on an airplane right now, given MH370 and MH17 and then the German wings, and now this France flight almost going into a volcano and engines shutting off on the Airbus stuff? This is weird stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and I think there's more to that than we are going to know right off the bat. And again, probably ought to check and see if CERN was running last night, or you wouldn't think that CERN would affect a plane that was traveling between Singapore and Shanghai, though. So I, you know, that's just a weird situation to me. Anyway, we got to go to this quick 3-minute break, guys. Really appreciate all of you guys hanging out. My chat feed is a little slow this morning, so if anybody's saying anything to me, I am not seeing it right now. But there are many people in the chat, and really appreciate you guys being in there hanging out this morning. We got to go to this quick 3-minute break. And we come back, we've got lots more news, and I want you guys to stay here for the second hour because the one and only Stan Deo will be joining us. StanDeo.com is the website you guys want to go check out. Absolutely one of the most amazing gentlemen that I have the privilege of knowing on this planet. And very excited to be bringing him to you guys today. So keep it right here, go into this 3-minute break, and we will come right back with more of your daily dose of deprogramming. See you on the other side, guys.
Chris and Cherie Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Lip Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays, True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break and for all of you guys hanging out in the chat room. Love having you guys in there in the morning. We've got the one and only Kev Baker in the chat room tonight. I totally forgot to mention the fact that what an amazing show. I think Rebecca Roth is in the chat room right now, too. I could listen to Rebecca Roth forever, ladies and gentlemen. She's got the most sultry, calming voice. She's got a way of telling you the most horrible things in the world, and then you just want to give her a hug afterwards. Don't you? I just absolutely love her. Anyway, she was on Kev Baker's show last night. Absolutely stunning stuff. And if you guys need to go back and download that archives, do it right now. I'll wait here. It's totally fine. Anyway, also, Tough Talk Thursday on the KBS broadcast tonight, which means I do believe that my friend Alex is going to be on from the Ukraine. And I'll tell you what, those guys at KBS do such a great job getting real news out. And you can't get more real news than talking to a gentleman who actually lives in the Ukraine right now. I think Robbie D will probably be on tonight, too. Anyway, I will definitely be in the chat room for that because it's one of my very favorite nights on the KBS broadcast. So really, really looking forward to that tonight. And if you didn't hear Rebecca Roth on KBS last night, go back and listen to it. And just as another heads up, Saturday, Rebecca Roth, reality check. On TFR, brand new host, brand new show. So looking forward to it. I cannot wait to curl up this Saturday with a good cup of tea and listen to all of the just where Rebecca is going to go with all this stuff. I can't imagine how great the show is going to be. I'm really, really looking forward to that. So that's where I will be on Saturday, and you guys know where I will be this afternoon for the KBS broadcast. So anyway, that is what's going on for TFR for the rest of the day. Probably a whole lot of other stuff, too, that I'm missing. Roger Sales show coming up next, always totally worth listening to because he breaks down some of this constitutional law in ways that nobody else can. Jim Ram show, absolutely amazing in the morning. Really like Robert Bruce's stuff in the afternoon. Just such a great place to be. TFR is really coming together, and I'm really privileged to be a part of it all. Let's get into the national news here right now really quickly. A federal judge did issue an order yesterday requiring the State Department to make batches of the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails public over the next 30 days, starting next month. So this is going to be a monthly rollout. The U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras also set particular targets for the agency to meet each month as it wades through the roughly 30,000 emails, which do total about 55,000 pages. The State Department initially proposed releasing the vast majority of emails in a single batch next January, about 2 weeks before the Iowa caucus, but Contreras rejected that suggestion, saying that public interest in the materials far outweighs the State Department's wish to keep this stuff under wraps. And of course, we all know that Hillary Clinton is very adamant about getting this stuff out into public. She's said so many, many times, really wants her emails released. I don't necessarily believe that, but at least that's what she is saying right now. Also, scrambling going on right now in the Capitol buildings here in the United States right now. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is basically running out of time right now to save sections sections of the Patriot Act while the White House is basically saying that they have to get these things passed. The White House, Barack Obama specifically saying these guys need to work through these issues. We cannot allow people in the United States to be victims of ISIS. And if we don't have this mass surveillance program going on underneath the provisions of the Patriot Act, well, then all hell is going to break loose. And White House saying we're not going to be responsible if that's what happens. But again, the Senate leaders are going to come back on Sunday and try and hammer out some sort of deal before the Patriot Act does, in fact, expire. That will be at midnight on Sunday. So again, a lot of scrambling going on behind the scenes right now. Mitch McConnell, basically, if he wanted to, could probably just drop his vocal opposition to the House bill. That's probably the only escape route that he has left. And that bill actually fell 3 votes shy of the necessary 60 over the weekend. And it could see new life if the Senate returns on Sunday. And that measure would renew 3 expiring Patriot Act powers while ending the NSA's controversial bulk data collection of U.S. phone records. And the records would then be held by the phone companies instead. We've talked quite a bit about this, the USA Freedom Act, how it's about the most draconian title, very Orwellian type of stuff that they're trying to pass on us right now. But we're going to see what happens this weekend if they do decide to extend those Patriot Act provisions or if they do decide to let them expire. I know a lot of people here at the radio program hoping that they do, in fact, expire. The NSA has come out and they said they don't have any problem with them expiring, which you guys could probably read between the lines and say they must have different plans and different things set up ready to go if that is the case. So I'm taking that with a grain of sand at this point. Also, you know, with everything that's going on in the country right now, I've got to say I'm a little disappointed in Mr. Barack Obama, which probably goes without saying for a lot of you people. But the focus that this gentleman decides to put on things that are completely ridiculous to me is absolutely exemplified by what he did yesterday. So just yesterday, the Obama administration empowered the EPA, and we have talked about this with Doreen Hannis. We've talked about this with Deborah Tavares, this idea that the EPA was going to try and elicit some sort of control over wetlands, America's wetlands. And they are basically redefining waterways, the definition of waterways here in the United States, and Barack Obama signed this into law yesterday, which basically means the EPA is now in charge of all the water sources in America. We're talking about streams, we're talking about creeks, ditches, brooks, rivulets, burns, tributaries, creeks, wetlands, whatever you want to call them, perhaps even puddles. This is a very broad sweeping move to assert unilateral federal authority, and it all comes down from the Environmental Protection Agency. They're saying now that they have the authority to control all waterways in the United States and that they will, in fact, exercise that authority. And the move comes as part of the Clean Water Act, and federal officials say they are just simply trying to help businesses comply with regulations, which is obviously garbage. But here's the silver lining, is that the Supreme Court has already twice questioned the breadth of powers decreed under the Clean Water Act, prompting Wednesday's actions. And McCarthy claimed, she's one of the people at the Supreme Court, one of the judges there, claimed the new powers, McCarthy is the head of the EPA, pardon me there, said the new powers would not interfere with private property rights or address land use. Now, how they imagine that taking control of puddles and streams on your property, of course, if you guys haven't really read the text of the Clean Water Act, it is absolutely unbelievable what they are trying to say constitutes pollution now. Biological things like pollen and dirt, even though the world seems to be made of pollen and dirt, if they find those things in creeks and streams on your property, they can basically assert control over that water. But they're essentially, Barack Obama saying that the water, in fact, belongs to everybody. And, of course, this is going to come down on people who are doing rainwater collection and things like that. Just more draconian nonsense and more EPA stuff. And I'll tell you, really, as I go along, and, you know, we've been doing this for 6 months on this network and many, many months before that, I'm out of patience, personally, guys, and what really bothers me here is that Barack Obama is putting EPA agents in mortal danger, and that's really the long and the short of it, because I know a lot of people, I used to have some property in Arkansas, you stow up on somebody's property in Arkansas, they're going to shoot you dead, and they're going to bury you under their garden shed, and they're never going to talk about it again. There are people in Arkansas, people in Tennessee, people in East Kakalaki, North Kakalaki, South Kakalaki. These people see those little blue lights on top of the cars as targets, and they always will, guys. When I lived down there, The sheriffs would not come down our road because there was about a 50-50 chance that they were going to make it back off the road. So I think that we are putting a lot of power and authority into people who do not understand how dangerous it is to go out into people's private properties and start messing around with people's livelihoods. That's a really good way to get shot here in Missouri, good way to get shot in Arkansas. I can imagine a lot of other places that people are not going to put up with this. So I'll come out in the air and say it right now. EPA, don't come to my property because you're not going to leave. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just sick of it. I guess that's where I'm at today, guys. I'm sick of all of this stuff. This whole draconian, people pushing this agenda on us and trying to take control over all of the things that we need to be able to be self-sufficient is unacceptable to me, and it's nothing to do with reality. And I really feel very badly for these EPA agents right now. See another person saying same thing with Kentucky, man. These people do not understand from a liberal mental standpoint how much danger they are putting themselves in by attempting to come out and mess with people's property, because that's just, it's not going to fly. I hate to say it, guys, not going to fly. And I live in, you know, a city here in Missouri, and that's not going to fly here. I can't imagine what my buddies down in the sticks of Arkansas would think about all of this. Okay, anyway, get off my soapbox here for just a second. Governor Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, he vetoed a bill earlier on Tuesday that would abolish the death penalty in the state. We talked about this. The lawmakers passed the bill to outlaw the death penalty there in Nebraska, being one of the first states in many, many years to do exactly that. They did outlaw the electric chair a number of years ago and moved on to lethal injection, but there are still constitutional concerns about lethal injection, as well as the ability to actually get the pharmaceuticals that they use to kill people. The pharmaceuticals were coming from a company in France. France does not have capital punishment, and they said, well, this is not why we're selling this stuff, so they stopped selling it. And that's, it's really caused a lot of states a lot of issues. But anyway, the lawmakers basically banned the death penalty earlier in the week, and now Governor Pete Ricketts has vetoed that ban, so death penalty back on the table. We're going to have to see what the lawmakers decide to do. I think if they can get enough votes together, they can circumvent his veto, and I imagine that's what they're going to be trying to do now. So again, they have, it looks like this afternoon. I'm sorry, I'm getting an update right now. This afternoon, they're going to try and override the governor's veto. So perhaps later on today, I can give you guys an update if something does happen. But as of right now, I just don't know. But anyway, a lot of back and forth going on in Nebraska regarding the death penalty right now. Also, a 2-month manhunt for an ex-LAPD officer accused of murder ended earlier this week when the 27-year-old was arrested in Mexico. And the Chihuahua state authorities said Henry Solis did resist arrest, but no shots were fired, and he was apprehended in Juarez across the Rio Grande from El Paso, Texas. He told authorities he knew his capture was coming sooner or later, and Mexican officials agreed with that at the press conference. One state police official said Solis was hidden among relatives in a neighborhood there down in Juarez where he was arrested, and that official did not give specifics about what led investigators to the neighborhood, saying it was only that Solis's capture was a result of technology, fieldwork, and the exchange of information with United States authorities. He was deported to the United States Tuesday evening. He is being held in federal custody in El Paso right now. He had been the target of an international manhunt after authorities issued a warrant for his arrest, alleging that he had shot and killed Salome Rodriguez Jr. in downtown Pomona while off duty during the early morning hours of March 13th. And in the days that followed, Solis was fired from the LAPD, and his father was charged with lying to federal investigators about his son's whereabouts. So essentially, this gentleman got into a verbal altercation with a gentleman while he was off duty at a bar and followed this guy out into the street and shot him 4 times. He did not show up to work at the LAPD the next day and instead took off to Mexico. And his father covered for him, got caught covering for him, so he's being prosecuted now. And regardless of all the other ancillary stories, the gentleman has now been caught, and the family member of the people who have been killed, very, very excited about that, and I cannot blame them. So, just goes to show something. I'm not sure what, though. Also, talking about Texas right now, the situation in Texas still really, really dire. Incredible amounts of flooding. If you guys haven't seen the pictures down there, it's just absolutely astounding. All of our prayers and thoughts are with the people down there who are suffering with all of this water right now, but they have another issue to deal with right now. Apparently all of this flooding is pushing fire ants and all of their massive fire ant colonies out of the ground and they are moving north to get away from the water. So I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up. Millions and millions of fire ants have been displaced from their homes in Texas right now. And these are some nasty buggers, if you pardon my friend, or pardon my pun here. Nasty, nasty insects. And so if you're out there in Texas and you see one of these huge mounds, or if you see something that looks like an area rug that has some movement on the surface, stay away from it, because fire ants, if they were to really get on top of you, they could really hurt you real bad. So just another thing for people to know about what's happening in Texas right now. I have got the most awesome story, and I'm going to pass this along to the chat room because this will make you guys smile. I love this. I don't know if it's technology. I don't know what it is, but it's just something that I saw that made me smile. This group of people, let me think, it's Nikon and Nikon and who else did they work with? Okay, it doesn't really matter. Nikon, essentially the camera makers, got together with some kids from the Bluetooth groups, and they wanted to figure out if they could create a camera that would take a picture when your heart rate accelerated, right? So they're calling it heartography, and they basically took a camera and attached it to a heart rate monitor, and then they connected those two things by Bluetooth. So anytime it gets so much better than that. They did that, and they put it on a dog, ladies and gentlemen. They put it on a dog, so anytime the dog, his heart rate went up, it would take a picture of what it was that he was looking at. And I got to tell you guys have to check out the link. Some of the pictures that this dog took when his heart rate went up are amazing. They make you feel like, wow, there might actually be a person in that dog. I put this in the chat room. I can't really describe all the, I mean, I guess I could describe the pictures, but one of them is the family cat and it's like a stare down match. The other one is three pigeons. The other one is a turtle that the dog ran across. The other one is another dog that the dog ran across. And the other one is a picture of, some crabs in a tank that apparently this dog was looking at. But it's really interesting to see, you know, actual things, the interaction between a dog and his environment and the things that make the dog's heart rate go up, and then to see really clear, amazing pictures of those things. It just warmed my heart, and I wanted to pass that along to you guys. So it is in the chat room. It's also at redpillreports.com under the show links, and it is the last link in the national news section. No idea why I put it there, but I just really liked it, and I hope you guys like it too. Threw it in the chat room. Check it out. Let's talk about some economic stuff going on, right, meow? Let us see where the markets are here today. Dow looks like it's down about 53 points, almost 54, so we're at 18,109. S&P following suit, going down just a touch today, 21.15. The dollar index is still on the rise. We were at 97.42. Euro also on the rise right now. That is an unusual correlation. Usually one goes down and the other goes up. But the euro also on the rise. We're at 1.09 and 1.3 on the euro. Bitcoin up today just a touch, 239.39. Get you a bright, shiny Bitcoin. And gold up just a little bit today at $1,189. Still well down from the 1,200 mark and the 1,220 mark that we saw earlier last week. So it might be a good time to be hopping into gold right now. Again, dollar index is high. Gold rate is low. Same thing with silver. Silver up just a touch today, but only at $16.68. Another really good opportunity. If you talk to Kenneth Shorten, he'll tell you that there is about 17 times worth of growth that should happen here with silver coming up in the future. So it's probably the best, most undervalued metal to get into right now. And also crude oil down just a touch today, $57.27. So still falling away from that $58 mark that we were at yesterday. More news out of Greece. It wouldn't be a day to talk about the economy if we didn't talk about Greece, would it? Greece, yesterday we had the story that there was potential that they could essentially make one lump sum payment at the end of June as opposed to making these four smaller payments throughout the entire month in hopes that they would find the ability to generate some income from somewhere. But it does not really look like that is what's going to happen. Greece, again, coming out in the news today saying they're probably going to miss the deadline for this deal with the creditors this week because the parties have not made any progress in these talks. And again, this is Bloomberg telling us this from a source very close to the negotiations. Obviously, a lot of people concerned right now of an Athens default. So Greece remains too far from striking a debt deal with the international creditors, according to these unnamed sources who wish to remain anonymous. And last week, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Francois Hollande set a target to reach the deal by the end of May, which we are clearly rapidly approaching. as we talk. And so the stalemate negotiations continuing to drag on. Greece is losing liquidity, and the economy is being pushed further and further into recession. Deposit withdrawals are still growing rapidly, and the inability to make debt payments have aroused new doubts that the country's ability to pay to stay in the eurozone actually exists. So again, probably not a very good chance that Greece is going to come up with this money. They have essentially $80.2 billion in emergency cash still available to the banks, and that is from the European Central Bank. But again, the central banks, or the banks in Greece right now, already had to send most of their money to the main central bank there in Greece so that they could make this last payment. And they were well short, so they had to dip into their SDR basket. And you can just see how this is just a slow train to nowhere here right now. Still a lot of potential that they're going to end up leaving. And in another kind of related story right now, the German government actually is surprised right now that Greece reported yesterday that there was some sort of progress right now. And also JP Morgan saying that the longer we go without a deal here, the less likely it is that we will actually have a deal, and the higher the likelihood becomes of a Grexit. So that's what JP Morgan is saying right now. Again, a lot of people definitely think that this whole Grexit thing is in the cards. Who knows what is going to happen there? Missed the link. Oh, gosh, you guys missed the link to the dog pictures. I'm going to go back and get that for you guys because it is super awesome. Hang on here. We're calling it, photography, just so you guys know. Photography. that's not really mine, but I really like it. Where is it? No, that's, if you spell that word wrong, it doesn't work. Photography. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to close that before. Yeah, here we go. There's a couple of good shots of it. And I will put it back in the link right meow. There you go, guys. Sorry about that. You guys have to keep up in the chat room. I go quick in there. I just love these pictures. You guys are going to totally chuckle when you see this. One of them is a pair of flip-flops. You can see the dog is like staring at these flip-flops and is like, you know, it's just interesting to see what makes a dog excited. Mushrooms, other dogs. It's just super cool. I love it. What a great idea. What a great, great, great idea. It just makes you feel a lot closer to your pets, or at least makes me wonder what my cat would take a picture of if I put a camera on my cat and let it, you know, I just love it. So cool. Okay. Iraq right now is ready to increase its crude exports to a record 3.75 million barrels a day by June, continuing OPEC's strategy of ousting U.S. shale producers in the market. The extra oil is coming from Iraq, again coming to 800,000 barrels a day, more than from OPEC members Qatar, according to Bloomberg, and referring to Iraq's oil shipment schedule. OPEC countries are increasing crude output to protect their market share and to decrease oil prices in an attempt to divert investors from expensive oil, including U.S. shale, heavy oils, and deep offshore. And the OPEC nations are, in fact, scheduled to meet again on the 5th of June and are expected to confirm current output levels, which are currently about 30 million barrels a day. And 33 out of the 34 analysts and traders surveyed by Bloomberg all agree that OPEC is probably going to maintain its daily production. So Iraq adding more oil to the scene right now. Also, it should be noted that Iran is basically at the bottom of its bell curve right now in terms of production because of the sanctions, and they are starting to ramp up their production as well. In April, Iraq exported almost 3.1 million barrels of oil a day. That is a record right now coming out of Iraq. Has a lot to do with the fact that northern Iraqi Kurdistan and the government in Baghdad are actually working together now. They're trying to unify their country, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you, you can talk about the dinar all you want, but I think that when you have record levels of oil production and moving to an asset-backed class of securities or currencies, something is going to happen there. Something is definitely going to happen there. There's a great article from Activist Post right now talking about the adage, sell in May and go away, just pointing out that this is about the same time of year just prior to the last financial crisis that we start seeing stocks get sold off. And there is an old adage, again, sell in May and go away. Are we going to see it? It is Thursday today. The Dow, again, was down just a touch today, but usually on Fridays is kind of when people who are going to sell do all of their really big selling. So we will see what happens there. I'm going to move away from the economy right now because it is very close to the break, and I'm going to run out of time here in just a couple seconds here. Also, want to say on KBS last night that Rebecca Roth mentioned the fact that Boeing does in fact have an electromagnetic pulse weapon, but the Air Force did, as Rebecca mentioned yesterday on KBS show, has now come out and said that yes, they do in fact have mobile electromagnetic pulse weapons. These are capable of destroying targets and destroying electrical systems without collateral damage, as Don Cheadle noted in the always relevant movie Ocean's Eleven. This is a bomb, but without the bomb. And that's essentially what Boeing has developed now. It's called CHAMP, which is a counter-electronics high-powered microwave advanced missile project. And the American military project is an attempt, again, to develop a device with all of the power of a nuclear weapon, but without the death and destruction to people and infrastructure that weapon would, in fact, cause. So theoretically, the new missile system would pinpoint buildings, knock out their electrical grids, and also plunge the targets into darkness and general disconnectedness. The project has been in the works for a few years now and has met with significant success in preliminary trials. Back in 2012, it was reported that the CHAMP mission in Utah managed to hit and subsequently disable 7 separate targets in one mission, demonstrating its accuracy and precision. Kind of makes you wonder if a weapon like that might have been what affected that plane that was traveling from Singapore to Shanghai. Because, again, now we have full disclosure from the Air Force that, yes, we, in fact, have electromagnetic weapons that we can put on drones and fly around. It makes you think probably China has the same. There was a report that we had from Russia probably has the same thing. We had that report of Russia disabling a battleship. I want to say in the Mediterranean earlier this month. You guys have to forgive me. I'm a little fuzzy this morning. But, again, we're disclosing. There's disclosure is happening right now. There are electromagnetic pulse weapons out there. They're probably affecting other things. They're doing more testing. I don't know. It's a scary world that we're moving into right now. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about as we are running out of time? Well, really not all that much. There's a great report about plants being able to see, sense, smell, and taste and react to predators. I'll throw that into the chat room. If you guys haven't read a book called The Secret Life of Plants, you guys need to go check that book out. It's one of my very favorite books. But don't watch it, or don't read that, and then watch a movie by M. Night Shyamalan called The Happening, because it'll scare the heck out of you. Anyway, we got to go to this 3-minute break, guys. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with me this morning. Lots more news at redpillreports.com that I could not get to. But we got to go to this 3-minute break. And when we come back, we will have the one and only Stan Deo here. And we will take questions from the chat. Might even open up the phone lines just to see how far along we get with Mr. Deo. So you guys keep it right here. And we will see you guys in just a few minutes. Take care, everybody.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. by clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And for all of you guys in the chat room, huge, 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 huge shout out to you guys and everybody on the live stream, anybody listening on the archives. Thank you guys so much. We have got a really amazing guest lined up today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm absolutely humbled to be welcoming back to the program the one and only Stan Deo. I know that a lot of people out there are tuned in to hear Stan today, and really excited to be part of this TFR family that can bring you guys amazing guests like Stan. And if you guys don't know who Stan Deo is, first of all, what the heck are you doing? Go to standeo.com. I'll put these links into the chat room in just a quick second here, but I want to kind of give you guys a little bit of his background, and I'm going to try and truncate it today. To be honest, his background is somewhat intimidating, ladies and gentlemen. He has held top secret security clearance. He's worked undercover for the FBI. He's been part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. He is a computer programmer of mainframes in 7 different languages, both in PC and Macintosh. He's a senior systems analyst. He's a marine architect. He's the author of 3 books and 6 scientific papers, an amateur archaeologist in the Middle East. He's actually explored the real Indy caves, the real Indy Jones caves in the Quran area inside of Israel. He's been on many, many television documentaries, also many, many radio appearances. One of the most amazing gentlemen on the planet, ladies and gentlemen, have no doubt. And Stan, thank you so much for taking some time out to join us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Okay, thank you, JD. It's kind of funny being called a computer program, but there you go.
I don't have quite enough coffee in my system yet, so you just have to bear with me here. I want to, before we jump into it as well, give a little bit of kudos to your wife, Holly. I always want to recommend people get Dare to Prepare. That was one of the first books that was ever recommended to me when I started realizing just how behind the curve I was in terms of preparation. It is an absolute tome, ladies and gentlemen. There is so much information in Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. I just want to make sure we get a plug for that, because if you guys are out there like everyone else right now paying attention to the fact that there are potential economic collapses, we've got earthquakes and volcanoes going on over the world, you got to take it upon yourself to get ready for that. And that book that you can get from standeo.com called Dare to Prepare that his wife put together is absolutely a high water mark in the preparation arena. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. Now, Stan, one of the things that you have been involved with in the past is earthquake prediction. You actually made an earthquake predicting model back in the mid-90s. And I kind of wondered, before we get into a discussion today about potential planetary alignments, which, again, today is the 28th day of May. There's a lot of rumor out there right now that there is a massive you know, planetary alignment that could cause all kinds of things to kick off. I want to first just kind of start our talk a little bit with your the prediction program and how that actually worked, and maybe bring us up to speed on where that is today, sir.
All right, JD. Back in 1995, the Fleet Numerical Metrological and Oceanic Center, which is FNMOC, FNMOC, for the U.S. Navy in Monterey, started releasing images on the internet that they were getting from data on their satellites and their sea buoys and various ships that fed them data. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found was that they were measuring the change, the anomaly, in the sea surface temperatures everywhere on the planet based on a 30-day running average. And I found some interesting pictures of those, and just playing around with them over a couple of days, I found that if I compared those images, those anomalies, the change in the anomaly, which is like a second-order derivative, I found that I could locate potential earthquakes of significance, say Richter 5 or better, along coastlines that, say, joined onto the Ring of Fire or elsewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And there was a peculiar pattern, kind of in the way I did it, a blue and yellow butterfly-looking pattern over a fault line that was stressing and about to release an earthquake. I developed the technique over a period of months and years and got to where I was between 70-90% accurate and ahead by about 7 days, sometimes only 6 hours of when the earthquake would occur. Mm-hmm. In fact, one time when I was on the show with Art Bell when I was down in Australia, we were talking about it, and he said, what's today's chart forecast look like? And I said, well, it looks like Japan's going to have an earthquake.
Wow.
And about 30 minutes later, his engineer broke into the show, and he says, good Lord, it says just happened over in Japan. So yeah, we've had a few interesting events like that. But in 2004, I think it was 2004, the data that I was getting from the FNMOC, and by the way, Holly and I did go visit the center there, the computer center in Monterey, and talk to the people writing the programs and interpreting satellite data, and found out that the reason that the data I was getting was so accurate was that it wasn't only containing the sea surface temperature anomaly, it contained electrical data feed in the atmosphere conductivity over the ocean as well.
Wow.
Which most sea surface temperature anomaly reports don't do in the civilian world, but they did in the military satellite.
Okay.
Well, anyway, in 2004, they put up a new constellation of satellites and denied access to myself and others who had been using it, including the Mexican Admiralty, which had been using my technique as well, and the U.S. Navy data.
Hmm.
So after that, I couldn't really predict the earthquakes with any accuracy, when, where, or whatever. And this year, last year too, I started looking at some old reports made by the RCA Corporation about how they figured the positions of the gas giants, Saturn and Jupiter, in relation to the Earth, and how that apparently they could plot increase in serious earthquakes using the positions of those two planets. And it was usually when Saturn and Jupiter are within about 90 degrees of each other. If you drew a line from them to the sun, it would make, you know, a right angle, just mm-hmm. roughly in there.
Okay.
And the Earth had to then be close to a line from either of those planets to the sun. Well, I thought, you know, this week I started playing with this because of that guy that's been saying we're going to have a big earthquake in California
right.
today. And today's not over, I grant you that, but I looked at his arguments, and he talked about a Nostradamus quatrain that seemed to agree, showing the position of Saturn and Jupiter in the heavens and various constellations. And to begin with, he's not a Nostradamus expert, neither am I, but he forgot one. Nostradamus put little punctuation marks, you know, colons and commas in certain places, and used tricks of the French language to put his message across.
Okay.
And in this case, what this guy interpreted as where the signs in the heavens were totally wrong, totally wrong. They weren't, Jupiter and Saturn weren't anywhere near where, you know, he said that the quatrain said. Now, then he said, this guy, you know, that we're talking about, he used a program, same one I've got on alignments of planets using solar system scope. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'll just use the program data here and that I've got and compare with his and find out when, say, from 2004, when I stopped, you know, tracking the earthquakes because I didn't have data, when earthquakes, say, over 7.9, 7.9 and above, occurred related to the alignments of Jupiter and Saturn, like the RCA Corporation said. Now, I sent you a link that you can share on your chat or on your website,
okay,
which is the last link I sent you. It's Show Images Solar System.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And when you go there, you will look and you'll see a bunch of screen snaps I made of this program data showing where the gas giants were in relation to Earth for these major earthquakes over the last 10 and a half years now.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you know, surprise, surprise, a great majority of them show that these major earthquakes occurred when Jupiter and Saturn were either directly opposite each other on the sun and the Earth was getting close to a line between them, or when they were at right angles. And you can just quickly look at that yourself, you know, mm-hmm. your listeners can too when they get time, and see those two big planets there, that's Jupiter and Saturn, how many of them are at right angles, and Earth just approaching a line between them and the sun. So, having said that, I looked at the alignment, which I've just put up here for the 19th of May, which is 9 days ago now, and sure enough, we have Saturn and Jupiter at perfect right angles to each other, and the Earth in a line between Saturn and the sun, and Mercury now coming in between that as well. Now, I think what is happening to get this kind of a correlation between the big earthquakes is that the Earth is undergoing stress expansion like all the other planets in our system and the sun itself. They expand their diameters as they age. So there's stress on the surface of the Earth, and it's cooling as well, making the, you know, the junctions, you know, the subduction zones and the slip zones between the earthquake areas stickier because, you know, more fragile because it's not as fluid. And the gravitational influences of Saturn and Jupiter are tugging on the sun, which is closer to Earth than those two are. And it's releasing a number of things in the electromagnetic spectrum right now then, and a lot of flares, coronal mass ejections, and these interlock to our magnetic system, causing acoustic gravity waves on Earth. Now, this is just all science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what triggers earthquakes that don't want to happen anyway but are stuck.
Right.
This is why, you know, this guy may be right, you know, sometime around today or next week or so. I think this alignment will probably last till about June the 2nd or 3rd. But, you know, it would be interesting to see what happens somewhere on Earth. Now, whether it's California or not, well, that's up for debate.
Right.
You know, I have seen signs of earthquake activity in California, well, not in California, off the California coast in Oregon and Washington coast in the New Madrid Fault Zone. And those earthquakes are just below Richter 5s. They're 4.2s, 4.5, something like that. But they're on significant areas of plate stress. USGS has labeled this area as the next big Richter 9 potential earthquake. And everyone's holding their breath waiting to see when it's going to release.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, added to that, there's a submarine volcano there, the toe of that Juan de Fuca plate, that is now active and spewing magma underneath the sea floor, according to the Scripps Oceanographic Institute.
That's the one off of the Oregon coast that we've been talking about a little bit for the last week, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So what do we do? You know, I guess it's a time, like you were saying about Holly's book, the Dare to Prepare thing, that it might be prudent to get that immediately, or if you don't have time or the money to do that, go onto our website and look at the free prep info. There's a link up, free prep info up the top left-hand side of the page.
Nice.
And go drag as much of that stuff down about water and various other things that you can get right now to prepare yourself in case there is a massive disruption of amenities, you know, and power and things like that due to some large earthquake like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had one couple ring me, I think it was Sunday, say from California saying, look, we heard this guy talk about this on the internet, May 28th, big earthquake in California. What do you think? And I thought, well, I wouldn't trust that. I said, you know, how does anybody know that? And, you know, what information is he using? And so I kind of poo-pooed it a bit. And later on that day, I thought, well, you know, I better just check and be sure I'm right about that.
Right.
And that's when I dived into the planetary alignment program that I have here and started thinking about it and looking at it. And I rang him back and I says, hey, I might have been a little hasty on that.
It's always best to err on the side of safety, though, isn't it? I mean, that just makes the most amount of sense to me. But
yeah.
given the research that you've done then, I mean, are we in fact in a planetary alignment right now that we should be concerned about? And did it have anything to do with what happened in Nepal a couple of weeks ago?
It might have. It might have, because mm-hmm. that was at the early part of the alignment as it's forming. And that might be the one that we have to say was a result of that. It wasn't, you know, like a Richter 8 plus, but it's certainly
plenty
pretty
big. Yeah, it was plenty big.
And it's on a fault line that never materialized as a plate tectonic, but it tried.
Right. And what about all of the volcanoes? Do we find do you feel like the volcano activity that we're seeing right now, obviously there's another one that just kicked off in the Galapagos Islands. We've got this underwater one going on in Oregon and, you know, a lot of concerns about Yellowstone right now. Do you feel like those are planetary alignment issues as well? Or is this more of just the Earth kind of going through its normal changes and, in, you know, evolutions?
It might be a combination of a number of those events, but mm-hmm. the closest, villain in this would be the Earth's expansion itself, and the Wolf volcano eruption, which is at the Galapagos, as you mentioned, is just due west of Ecuador on a triangular semi-plate. It's not quite a continental plate, but you know, tectonic plate. But it's looking like the plates that all meet at that junction may be putting pressure on a triangular piece that's in between them, and of course, this volcanic eruption there at the islands does say that that area is under stress and weakening, so that's allowing the magma to flow there in that volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, watch the volcanoes, watch the earthquake precursors. Sometimes there'll be a bunch of smaller earthquakes, like a flurry of them, and that might signal the release of a larger one. It's not always that way. Usually you get the aftershocks flurries, but sometimes of late I've seen that there's been little groups of clusters that presage a big one.
Well, that reminds me of that there's a tourist area in Japan where they have a whole bunch of hot springs, and they had to evacuate that a couple of weeks ago, because they had, you know, a swarm of over 100 kind of micro volcanic, you know, eruptions. And they're wondering if that particular volcano, which I don't think has actually erupted since like the 12th century, might be kicking back into life. So again, there's a lot of things that are changing out there right now, Stan.
Yeah, JD, there are. And not least of which is the El Nino weather pattern worldwide this year. It is the worst I have ever seen in the, 20 years that I've been looking at this data.
Mm-hmm.
Again, using civilian data on the sea surface temperature change, or anomaly rather, across the planet. I looked at this a couple of days ago, which is, it's even worse now, but I have it on the show images page. It's the first image showing global sea surface temperatures. And if you look at that, and now bear in mind what we've just talked about, earthquakes, you know, stresses in the Juan de Fuca plate, the Galapagos volcano, the volcano up off of the Washington Oregon coast, the hot springs heating up in Japan. And then look at this map, and you'll see the dark red to black areas are extreme exceptions or anomalies to the last 30 days worth of heating. And when you see these hot spots, they are over the areas that we're talking about.
Really?
So there's another area like that that's forming off of the New England coast and up into Nova Scotia in the Atlantic.
Ooh.
Which is forming a thermal wall, a heat wall of moisture boiling up from it, which may block some of the Canadian cold fronts coming down and make standing severe weather patterns hit the New England states over the next few weeks.
Wow.
Following the pattern of this heat off of the Baja and through Mexico, Texas, Arkansas, it goes right on up and joins the one off the New England coast. But overland, we're seeing results of it in huge flooding in Texas right now, and this is
Absolutely.
Not going to go away immediately. In South America, in Ecuador, there's some hot spots of like 40 inches of rain, just terrible things. In Argentina, where some of the south polar winds have come up and hit the southeastern coast of Argentina, rains, you know, exceptional rains. So this El Nino years, we do expect exceptional rains in various places. Mm-hmm. But sadly, India is not near one of the hot zones, you know, offshore. And it's in its, oh gosh, second or third year of severe drought. So hot right now then over 114 degrees Fahrenheit that their tar or pitch roads are melting. Mm-hmm. And that's not even without some kind of problem from the sun. It's just drought. So this is affecting a lot of the populations adversely, turning their weather upside down. And certainly where we live, Holly and I, we're over 100% of our normal rainfall for this time of year on average.
Right. How does this going to relate in terms of what we can expect here in the United States from this El Nino year? Like what kind of changes? I mean, obviously the weather in Texas right now is very bad. Lots and lots of rain, but what other type of effects do you think we can predict going into this El Nino year?
Well, here's another little side effect of these exceptional heatings of the sea surface. It heats the sea down several feet. It raises the temperature, and that lowers the density of the air, or sorry, of the water over that region. And if you look at it over the fault lines and say you're lowering the density of it, it's lowering the pressure on the fault line that's holding it in its current position.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's just amazing how everything is connected. I mean, it makes sense, really, from a holistic standpoint that, you know, planetary alignments and that our sun and, you know, all of these different things would play out through weather patterns and then through earth changes and things like that. But it is just astounding sometimes to sit and recognize just how interconnected everything is, Stan.
It is. Which I guess could lead us to the mystery of these trumpeting sounds that people have been reporting.
I'm glad you brought that up because you mentioned those words a little while ago, this acoustical gravitational waves. And as soon as you said that, I thought, oh man, I got to tell you, Stan, two summers ago when I was here in Missouri at my folks' place, they've got a house that overlooks the river and it's, you know, it's fairly secluded. And, I was standing out on the porch. This was two summers ago and, my mom kind of comes upstairs and she says, "Do you hear that?" And we went outside and there was this reverberation. I don't know how else to describe it other than to say it sounded like somebody had picked up two Golden Gate Bridges and was rubbing them together really slowly. I mean, this deep, deep, deep vibration coming from, we couldn't pinpoint where it was coming from over the horizon, I guess would be. But, you know, to experience something like that full firsthand and to have it go on, it lasted probably four and a half minutes. Was really, really unnerving. And you go on to YouTube and you see these videos and you think, okay, well, that might be fake. But to actually have it happening in your neighborhood is pretty astounding, Stan. And so what do you think is going on with these trumpet-like noises or these crazy vibrational booms from the sky? What is all of this?
Well, originally, a couple of years ago when I started hearing these reports, I tried to track it down. And I found a reference in the Old Testament in, let's see, in the book of Exodus. Where Moses was, it led the people of Israel near to the bottom of Mount Sinai. Well, Mount Sinai, they said there was trumpeting and making fire and smoke come out of it like a volcano, right? Mm-hmm. And the ancient term for the sound that came out of these hollow tubes that form a volcano core was a trumpeting mountain, a trumpeting burning mountain. So I thought, right, that's probably what's happening. We've got a lot of volcanoes around the planet. And then I thought, well, yeah, some of them are underwater. Okay, well, that wouldn't do it.
Right.
Okay, well, are all of them active and have a clear throat down to a magma, you know, pool that's rising up but not erupting yet and kind of stretching along the edges of the chambers. It moves up and causing these vibrations and they're reverberating for hundreds of miles. Yeah, maybe, but no. And then I started thinking, well, let's see what traditional physics and science is saying about this. And last month, I finally got hold of some technical reports talking about the fact that it's an interaction, they think, between the magnetic solar storms and magnetic field that actually touches us from the sun into our Earth's magnetic field, and the weakening of the Earth's magnetic field and the wobble in it. Couple all these things together, it's modifying the core of our planet through gravity waves from the sun. And it's making sound waves from the modulation or vibration of the magma core of our planet by the sun's rays and magnetic field and solar wind as it hits our upper atmosphere and compresses our planet and the magnetic field, which of course is weaker. Wow. Now that made sense because it was what they call acoustic gravity waves, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. Sound waves made from the change in gravity. And it actually does fluctuate our gravitational field when these things hit us from the sun. Now that might be what we're hearing, but it did say that these events where people have reported hearing it audibly, acoustic ones, are only the thin end of a large spectrum of lower frequency sounds below our hearing, but animals can hear it.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yes. Now there are systems. I talked to your guy Robert about this. Mm-hmm. Where you can set up what they call infra, infrasound antenna systems to record these low-frequency sounds, you know, daily. There are some sites that do it, but we haven't found one yet that posts it daily for us to have a look at.
Okay.
But I think they may be cheap enough for some people to afford to buy these kind of umbrella spoke-looking things that you set out in your yard and just take the data from it daily and see if you hear anything, or if it hears anything, because I'm sure there's a lot of activity going on the Earth, all the way down to the Schumann resonance frequency of around 8 hertz, you know, which is doubled recently, or sorry, halved. Doubled? Halved.
It's changed. That I know for sure. That's definitely a subject I'd like to talk to you about, though, in terms of what the Schumann resonance is and how the change is starting to affect people. But, you know, I wanted to touch on this since we're talking about these acoustical gravitational waves. And I guess in my mind, I kind of pictured it like an acoustic aurora borealis. Does that kind of coincide with what we're talking about, where it's like an invisible but acoustic aurora borealis as we're being affected by the, you know, the influx from the sun and things like
well,
that?
Possibly. That kind of implies a regular shape and, to the pattern. But I think it depends on a lot of things, surface conditions, atmospheric charges, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hot spots. That's why we don't hear it across the whole area. It's local points where you hear it. So it tends to make me think that these things are hot spots rather than a gentle spread like an aurora borealis would do.
Okay.
I do think it occurs. I found records of it occurring where they hear this down in Australia and New Zealand. So it's on both hemispheres that it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Roger that. Well, we've got to go to this quick 3-minute break anyway, but you know what makes me happy about this, Dan, is that we've actually found some sort of scientific evidence to make those people out there at least understand that they're not crazy, that they are actually hearing some sort of noise that we don't really understand right now. And it's not necessarily 100% YouTube hoax. It's not people out there, you know, pulling the soundtrack off of the Transformers movie and going out in the woods with big speakers and messing with people. Although I think that could possibly be happening. But I do also believe, like you do, that some of this stuff is absolutely genuine and going on right now and potentially should be something that we're concerned about. We do have to go to this quick 3-minute break. StanDeo.com is where you guys want to go. I'll put that link back into the chat room one more time. And we'll go to this 3-minute break. We come back, we'll have plenty more to talk about. If you guys have questions or comments, please steward them into the chat room, and I will weave them into the tapestry of our interview today. You guys take care for 3 minutes.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break, and thank you guys all hanging out in the chat room this morning. If you guys have questions for myself or Mr. Standeo, please go ahead and steward them into that chat room, and I will weave them into the tapestry of our interview today. Of course, Standeo, the one and only, joining us on the program. Very, very humbled to have him with us and talking about earth changes and just all of the things that are going on, planetary alignments, all kinds of crazy stuff. And before the break, we had kind of started to talk a little bit about the Schumann resonance. And, you know, it just, again, we kind of have to pause and just appreciate the interconnectedness of everything that's going on right now. And obviously, you know, the Earth is a system in and of itself. And if it is resonating at a certain frequency, or if that frequency changes in any way, it's probably something that we should be paying attention to. Maybe, Stan, for folks who don't know what the Schumann resonance is, just generally speaking, we could start right there and talk about its correlation between all the other things that are going on around the world.
Well, it's a vibration, in fact, a series of vibrations that occur between the Earth's upper atmosphere and the ionosphere and down to the Earth's surface. And it's very low frequency, so you're not going to hear it as a general rule. However, it does have peaks at 34 cycles per second and 28 cycles per second, 21 cycles roughly. And these are just at the low end of what you might be able to hear human ear-wise, which kind of does add another factor to this trumpeting sound people are hearing. If the Schumann resonance were to increase, and surprise, surprise, the mean frequency, the average frequency of about 7.83 cycles per second has doubled. Okay. And that means, I'm pretty sure, that the other higher nodes or fundamental frequencies that are related to that will be higher than, say, 34 cycles per second, which could make this sound be audible. Hmm. But I still think that what we're hearing is a much bigger event with the solar wind and things like that, because it's a screeching higher frequency sound like trumpets, and that's way above, you know, even 60 cycles per second, which is a low frequency hum, as you've heard, I'm sure, on mm-hmm. your speakers at times. But anyway, that electromagnetic resonance called the Schumann resonance, they think that it's caused by the electromagnetic waves that are released when lightning strikes. And on the planet, somewhere, 50 times a second lightning is striking and releasing these resonant waves. And the reason we have so many center waves, like, you know, the main fundamental 7.8 and 14 and 20, you know, 21, all these are where these lightning strike waves add together at certain points and create a new frequency. It's kind of like invisible waves, watching the waves of the ocean, but in the air, okay, in the electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. So that's Schumann resonance, and the military has been using it before as one of its constants for various things that they do in navigation of equipment and, ordnance. But anyway, that's changing, so Lord knows
what's going to happen as a result.
Up at the moment.
Right.
But that's the Schumann resonance, and it's a rather interesting phenomenon. I think it is loosely connected to the acoustic gravitational wave event that we're talking about for the trumpeting sound.
Well, I'll tell you, you go back and listen to some of those. Well, there was a great YouTube that somebody put up, I want to say from Colorado, just a couple of weeks ago, kind of one of the more recent experiences with these trumpeting sounds. And to me, there's not a better word, Stan, than the trumpeting sounds, because it really sounds to me like, you know, an entire orchestra of nothing but trumpets all just blasting at the same time. And it's funny because there are people online who've seen those videos and said, well, you know, I thought if God was going to send trumpet players, he would have sent somebody who knew how to play. And I think, well, you know, is that the sound from the sky that we're waiting to hear? You know, jazz, we're going to hear the saints come marching in or something like that? No, it's going to be this just onslaught of noise, probably at the point of being painful and bewildering. And I just wanted to know what your opinion. I know that you are kind of a biblical philosophy and a biblical studier. Do you feel like that this is something that's been going on for a long time, or do you feel like since we're starting to hear these things more and more now, that there might be some sort of prophetic link to the sounds being presented to us?
Well, yeah, I have thought of that. It's not a single trumpet blast. It, as you say, it's like an orchestral arrangement almost, mm-hmm. but badly organized. But anyway.
Well, by our standards, maybe, but maybe not in an intergalactic sense, you know.
And since it's happening all over the world at various times, it certainly must be, I'd view it as kind of a wake-up call to get people's attention that there are bigger things and mysteries happening out there than mankind knows about and that we are at the mercy of it. I've been looking. In fact, you can see this on my show images page there at the 1, 2, 3, 4th row down. I plotted the serious earthquake 7.8 and above in the last 11 years. Or 10 and a half, you know, to May. Mm-hmm. And there is no question about it. The increase in Richter 7.9 and above earthquakes has doubled in the last 10 years. Wow. You can see it on the graphs I've got there. And it said in the Bible that toward the end of this age, when the time of the prophecies of the book of Revelation and Daniel come to fruition, that there would be an increase in earthquakes in various diverse, widely spread places. Mm-hmm. And boy, data doesn't lie. It's right. Happening now. I mean, you look at that graph I've got there, earthquakes magnitude above 7, and I've drawn a pink line and a darker pink line shading to show the spikes that are Richter 8 and above in the last 10 years compared to the last, you know, since 1981. And it is not an issue for debate. They have increased, mm-hmm. Which tells us that great stresses are being released on the planet. Anyway, that's... I digress. What were we talking about before then?
Well, we were talking about earthquakes and the Schumann resonance.
And the trumpeting and the biblical science, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
But, that's okay. I love the free flow thought between you and I. It's so much fun because I feel like I keep writing down questions and trying to figure out kind of where to go, but I keep getting stopped by all these additional questions. Obviously, a lot of people are going to say, you know, the reason that we've got more earthquakes now is because we have more capability to record them.
No, Absolutely not. Let me tell you, I'm talking about more serious, big value earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And I have talked personally with the engineers at USGS about this issue, and they said, well, look, a Richter 5 earthquake anywhere on the planet, we would pick up and have a record of.
Okay.
So it didn't matter how many instruments they had, he said, if it's a Richter 5 or above, we'll pick it up. I'm not saying Richter 5s to 6s are, you know, that they were able to detect all of them accurately, you know, in the past with the instrumentation they had. But with the, what his report was they should be able to pick it up on their monitors there in California, anywhere on the planet. Well, you start talking about Richter 8 and above, your teacup on your shelf is going to vibrate when those suckers go off.
Oh, yeah.
it'll ripple the water, right? Mm-hmm. So there's an increase in those, and that's what counts. You don't have to have a seismometer to know that you've had one of those.
That's true. That's true.
Now, okay. I found an interesting thing, too, when I was looking at that data. When during a year would these big earthquakes above 7.8 occur, no matter where it is on the planet? And you'll see that graph. It's just a line graph on that same line there. It shows that that the period of April and May is the highest peak of large earthquakes on the planet over the last 10 years.
Huh.
Yeah. And the low peak is July, and June is almost as low. But there's another peak in September, and then another one in December. But the biggest, longest enduring major earthquake is the period is what we're in now, just about to end and go into June. And you can see on that graph. And that's, again, hard data. That's,
right.
And
any,
I put
any
on
idea why that correlation exists between these 2 months and an increase in earthquake activity?
No.
Hey, at least you're honest, you know. But at the same time, I'm with you, man. You know, this data does not lie. Man, that's an interesting correlation. I wonder what that causality is.
Well, look, I've put a PDF file right underneath that of the data that I used, and you know, when the earthquake occurred, what latitude, longitude, what date, and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
so that people can pull it down on their computer and have a think about it as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, see if they can figure out a way. In fact, I'd like to have people correlate the infrasound we're talking about. Robert was talking about he was going to look in to see if he could get one of those antennas for infrasound and start collecting the data, because we just can't find anybody reporting that on the internet yet. So if any of your people in the chat room or listening later on this know of a site where we can get fairly regular reports of infrasound monitoring on the planet, that would really be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I put a link into the chat. I found a website called Infiltech, which actually outlines a project if you wanted to put together your own model and, you know, for a fairly inexpensive way to do it. So I'll put that in the chat room. We definitely like to encourage people to not necessarily listen to everything that we're saying, but to go and do your own diligence, do some research yourself. I'll tell you, you know, I do pretty much trust everything that Stan Deo has to tell me here, ladies and gentlemen. But at the same time, you know, it's good to be inquisitive, and it's good to go out and do some research. And if you wanted to put together one of these infrasound systems, man, I would really like to help you guys do that. So if I can be of assistance in that way, other than just by passing on websites, I would be absolutely happy to do that. Because again, you know, to have someone like Stan Deo come onto the program and say that there's a correlation between the Schumann residence and the things that are going on in the world, and that these sounds are actually real and we need to start gathering some data on that, then I think that's something that we all need to be paying attention to. So I appreciate that, Stan, you coming in and giving us some direction here, at least moving into how we can figure this stuff out a little
bit
better.
Well, JD, look, you know, as individuals, we can't do too much, but as a team, on a lot of these issues, we can get down to the data that we can't get from the government agencies that we support, but they don't give the data back.
Right.
You know, we've got to form networks of data collection and do our own due diligence, I guess, because the governments are not telling us for a number of reasons.
Well, they don't want us to know what they might be doing. And, you know, thinking about the Schumann residence again, too, and I was going to ask you if you felt like HARP might be playing around and affecting that, or if you feel like anything out there. I mean, we kind of talk about CERN a little bit, and I know you haven't done as much research into CERN as you would like to. But it seems like we've got a couple of fairly large machines on the planet that mess around with gravity, that mess around with the ionosphere, and it seems like there is some potential that our government agencies could be meddling around with this stuff, and I'm just curious about what you think about that.
Yeah, sure. The HARP was off for a while, the one in Alaska, but mm-hmm. it's one of at least 8 HARP centers run by, you know, China, the United States, and Russia, and possibly Japan. I'm not sure whether they've gotten into the game or not, but anyway, there are 3 major players that we know of that have the technological ability to do that. And when you pump frequencies up into the ionosphere from a HARP-type array, you do form heating up that column, and you do pump energy that's usually stored in the ionosphere over that area or distributed. So that can be used to possibly cause weather changes on the planet and to modify directions of large hurricanes and possibly even tornadoes. But to do that, all of the people on the planet, all of the sites of HARP-type devices need to be in concert, need to be controlled by one source.
Okay.
And that's not the issue today. So when they do operate, they'll get local events around their HARP transmitters that, you know, helps them in their research and gathering data. But on a global scale, their waves are interfering with other HARP countries' waves, and they form nodal intersects at various places, at various times, various frequencies, which I don't think is a clever idea. We need to look at this planet as an entity,
yes.
And we need to do all the research and development of the planet as a group, you know, one single group of humans with an objective. But sadly, this is not going to happen until the return of the Messiah, I'm sure.
Oh, I think it's going to take that or something even bigger than, I mean, I don't know what could be bigger than that, but yeah, we're going to have to go through a pretty rocky period here coming up where, either economically or potentially physically on the planet, but, yeah, to get people back spiritually aligned with one another and understanding liberty and the humanity for a whole, we are so in a hole right now in terms of the banking industry and in terms of, you know, the people that are really running the world right now. So I'm with you, man. I think that, I'm ready for the transition. I'm hoping that it happens sometime soon because I don't know how much further we can kick this can down the road. But so many people are suffering around the world right now, and we're doing it to ourselves. You know, we're using this idea of scarcity and competition and the false construct of profit to go out and, you know, cause real death and destruction to the actual earth and its inhabitants. And it's got to change, Dan. It's got to change.
You know, it does. I'm just thinking during the break, we were talking, you and I, about the ULO, the unidentified lying, L-Y-I-N-G object in the CERN beam pipe. It reminds me of an experiment done probably, 35 years ago now in California somewhere at a university.
Mm-hmm.
They, tried to remove, and they think they did, remove all of the, gases out of a bell jar that they'd pulled a partial vacuum on. They removed all of the molecules except that of nitrogen. So they had a pure nitrogen atmosphere with no, you know, argon or oxygen or other trace gases in there.
Okay.
And they left it for a period of days and then came back and checked for any other molecules that might be there other than nitrogen. And they found oxygen, a few oxygen molecules had come into it.
Hmm.
Now, the thing that was interesting is there was no way for those to get in by leaching into that sealed system.
Right.
They either had to bleed out of the glass, or they think that the vibrations of the spinning nitrogen atoms, as they decay and break apart, because atoms only live for about a millionth of a second, and then they fall apart and the waves go and feed other like atoms around it with more energy by their dying. So the shock waves they throw off as a nitrogen atom dies, is fed to other nitrogen atoms to encourage them, spin them up, and keep them living longer.
Okay.
But it's constant death, rebirth type thing between atoms. Now, it is possible that these shock waves coming off of decaying atoms could form nodes where the waves all intersect, and not at another atom, but in free space, and the intersection is strong enough that it creates a new atom closely aligned, like oxygen.
Right. Wow.
So when I look at the CERN pipe and that mystery object that's sitting on the bottom of one of the beams there, or the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if in their collisions they have created some mass that is long-lived and it's dropped down with a heavier mass down into the bottom of it. The fact that it's subject to gravity or charge or magnetic field tells you, well, okay, it must be either magnetic, electrostatic, or just a neutral mass.
Mm-hmm.
A neutron would be neutral to magnetic field, so it wouldn't necessarily be attracted to the bottom or any part of the pipe. So, therefore, it must be some kind of an object that can have a magnetic component, you know, an atom with a magnetic component. Mm-hmm. Neutrinos certainly have a very, very weak magnetic field to detect, or strong one, in case which whichever case you want to put, but it's long thought that neutrons and neutrinos as well didn't have a magnetic field, that they were neutral, but that's not the case. And we've seen that in strong magnetic fields, you can deflect a neutron, you can deflect a neutrino as well. You can't stop it, but you can deflect it.
Right.
It's mighty massive in energy. But I'm thinking this may be what they've done is they've accidentally created an element that has got magnetic properties and stuck to the side of the beam tube.
Wow.
It's just my guess, but
well, that's certainly one of the better guesses that we've gotten so far. We were talking to a gentleman named Anthony Patch the other day who has done a lot of research into CERN and was very concerned about the creation of neutrinos there, because thinking that those neutrinos, once they got super heavy, they would actually escape the containment system and actually move their way towards the center of the planet. And I think there was that movie, I don't know, what was it, 2012, that basically had that exact theme running through it, that, you know, neutrinos were coming from space and moving towards the center of the planet and heating up the Earth. And do you feel like that neutrinos is something that we should be concerned about these guys making over at CERN? Is that a real thing that could happen?
Well, they could produce neutrinos, but neutrinos are nature's super bullet. I mean, you know, they can go through 10,000 light years of lead, a single neutrino. And our star, like all the other stars that we know about, does produce neutrino emissions.
Mm-hmm.
But the neutrino emissions from our sun have dropped off considerably. And the way they have been traditionally measuring that is deep underground in a pool of water and some other things they do to trap the passage, not the actual neutron, but the passage of it gives off information that tells you how many of them have come through.
Okay.
And so the neutrino count from our sun has dropped over the last 20 years. Why, I don't know. But I'm more concerned by, say, something 200 light years away, a supernova releasing neutrinos and all kinds of other stuff, we would get a blast of neutrinos. And enough neutrino density will depolarize the nerves and living tissue, and you will drop down dead.
Oh, well, that's encouraging.
Yeah. Well, the neutron bomb that everybody talks about, the real estate bomb, works on that very principle.
Oh.
It's certainly hot at the detonation zone, but what it releases more than heat is neutrinos and neutrons at high speed to race out through all the buildings and leave them intact. But anything living, it'll short out their circuits and they'll die.
Wow.
Called the real estate bomb.
Copy that. Now, is that something that that could be a result of these crazy experiments that are going on at CERN, or is that too much of a leap to make in your mind?
Oh,
it just seems to me like these people, you know, when they come out and they say, we are, in fact, trying to open up other dimensions. We're trying to discover gravity's rainbow. We're trying to see if gravity, you know, as far as I know, we don't know the force carrier for gravity yet. So what are these guys tracking as they're, you know, potentially trying to open up multiple dimensions? It's so beyond the fringe science element for me. You know, I have a lot of trouble putting my head around it, Stan.
Well, I think they are trying to do that. They have mentioned that they found the God particle, and now they want to go beyond that and penetrate parallel or concentric universes, which are theorized by a number of modern cosmological models.
Mm-hmm.
The neutrino production and the energy that they create in the impact of the streams that they are colliding in the Large Hadron Collider, the energy of that is equivalent to about 17 flying mosquitoes.
Right.
In that collision point. However, the energy that they use to accelerate these things and to keep the coils cool is enough to power a small city. So the magnetic field is extremely strong in that area. And I think just the energy of the magnetic fields rather than the collisions is affecting the Earth's magnetic field in that area.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, you go back to the Sumerian and Judaic records of parallel universes, you'll see that the Tower of Babel was probably a gateway between our universe and a parallel universe where God and his angels dwell. The reports in the ancient documents, including this, I say the Sumerian stuff, do indicate that beings came into our reality, into our universe, in the sky, amidst big burning clouds and heat, and then they, when they came down to the earth, they had to come to a high place and let their molecules, I guess, I'm interpreting this, but let their bodies dispense with the high energy density of their universe until they were at our level so that they could touch humans without hurting them.
Wow.
case in point is when Moses was on Mount Sinai up there and says to God while he's chatting to him, he says, hey, look, I'm paraphrasing this. We've been talking for a while. I'd like to see what you look like, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. So God says to Moses, Moses, I would do that, except the energy of my presence would destroy your body. Go hide in this crack or this crevice here in the mountain and look out through that crevice at the cloud here, and I will project my picture on that so you can see what it looked like that way without looking at me directly so I don't hurt you. Now, it wasn't always this way. Why is this important? Because in the time of the Garden of Eden and the time of Noah, God walked with and said howdy to Noah and Adam and Eve.
That's
on
right.
a personal basis. But the energy disparity between God's universe and ours has grown greatly, like we're weakening and his is strengthening, so that he cannot address us directly without hurting us. And in the book of the Revelation, at the end of the thousand-year millennium, this earth and the stars and the heavens above will pass away in a great heat, and a new heaven and a new earth will form. And that's telling you a physics cosmological formula there. Mm-hmm. We're in entropy so great, our whole universe is going to disappear and be remodeled.
That is astounding. I mean, you really got my brain going this morning, Stan. I really appreciate it. Well, because you know what I'm thinking about right now is that wouldn't it have made could it possibly be that the Garden of Eden wasn't in fact here on Earth, but was in fact wherever, you know, this other entity was, and that the kicking of Adam and Eve out was to kind of put them down here in the other energetic state. And I don't know. What do you think about that?
It could well have been, but if it was, the communication point for the gateway would have been where I found the Garden of Eden in Tanzania now. Mm-hmm. There is a crater there called Ngorongoro, which has rivers flowing forth from it. And for that reason, I say, okay, if there was a parallel universe where Adam and Eve were created in a garden, it sat right over that spot, and that was the gateway. Now, having talked to a number of natives living in the area of the Ngoro, the collection of what's called the Datoga tribes have been there thousands of years, probably 3,000 they can track. Mm-hmm. And their legends say that God came down from the sky over in Ngorongoro Crater, created man, and then went back up into the sky and left man to do, you know, what he did according to the old legends in Sumeria and the Bible and whatever.
Right.
So, and they even called the mountain or the volcano right next to the Garden of Eden. It's kind of attached to it. It's a big thing. It's the Natron volcano called Old Doño. And it's the only one of its kind still functioning in the world at half temperature of all the other volcanoes, emitting these black and silvery popping magma bubbles that are, 17% of it is Alka-Seltzer. I mean, it's that kind of a volcano.
What?
Yeah, you know, that is interesting. It's almost like God created a type of Alka-Seltzer emission from that to help man get over the indigestion of his situation.
That's a lot of stress down here on this planet. We probably need something like that. Oh, man, this has been such a great fun today, Stan. I really appreciate you coming onto the program, but we are out of time today, my
friend. All right. Well, we'll do it again.
Absolutely, we will. I cannot wait to talk to you. I need to talk to you again about – I want to bring up the Berenstain Bears with you. I'm going to write this down so I have this for next time. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. One and only Stan Deo, standeo.com. Please go check out his stuff. And I honestly, get Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. You will not regret it. It will be one of the best ones in your library from here on out. Again, Stan, thank you very much for taking some time out today.
Bye-bye, Jamie.
Bye-bye, Stan. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you guys tomorrow with KBS. Kevin Baker will be on the program for 2 hours tomorrow. It'll be absolutely awesome. And do tune in to KBS tonight for Tough Talk Thursday.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.